In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, today we find ourselves at the Sunday of the Last Judgment. One of those Sundays in the time of preparation, our preparation for Pascha. And this celebration of Pascha is just a type of the great Pascha that is to come, that entrance into the heavenly kingdom, into the next age. In fact, that term Pascha has been used many times historically with the people of God. First Pascha that we know is the one of the Israelite people who left Egypt and they went across the Red Sea, the Passover. Then there was another, if you will, Pascha. After 40 years in the wilderness, they went over through the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And then they would commemorate annually God's deliverance of them from Egypt into the Promised Land. Of course, Christ would come as the fulfillment of all of that, and he would bring the Passover from death to life. And Christians every year annually would keep that commemoration of Pascha. We as individuals have the Pascha of baptism, where we die and rise with Christ. We have the Pascha of our own biological death, where we die and we await the resurrection of the dead on that great and final day, that great and final Holy Pascha. This is a time of, as I said, preparation, and we know that the preparation that the church gives us is long and thorough. It's complete. We start with Zacchaeus Sunday. Zacchaeus Sunday is actually the Sunday right before we enter into the Triodion that takes us up to Pascha. And in the Triodion, there are four preparatory Sundays. We start out with the publican and the Pharisee, then the prodigal son, this Sunday of the great and final judgment, next Sunday, forgiveness Sunday, and then we're into Great Lent itself, which is 40 more days of preparation. That concludes, actually, at Lazarus Saturday, which is preparation for Palm Sunday, which itself is preparation for Great and Holy Week, and then finally Pascha. So if you were to add up all of the preparations, there's preparation for the preparation for the preparation, etc. The church prepares us thoroughly for Pascha. And again, all of this is preparation for that great Pascha. In fact, as we celebrate today, the Sunday of the Dread and Final Judgment, just yesterday we had a Memorial Saturday where we remember all of the departed, all of those who are waiting that second coming of Christ, the general resurrection, the great and final judgment. The church opens our minds to this great context, this great perspective, and gives us clarity. Just yesterday, on this Memorial Saturday, in the morning, my family and I were in New Jersey for a funeral. One beloved friend of my wife's family reposed, and the funeral coincided with this Memorial Saturday. And during the service, something jumped out at me, and there's much in the funeral service kind of awaken us. The hymn is this: truly, all things are vanity, and life is but a shadow and a dream. For in vain does everyone born of earth anxiously concern himself. As the scripture says, when we have acquired the world, then we take up our abode in the grave, where together are both rich and poor, kings and beggars. Wherefore, O Christ God, give rest to the departed, as thou art the lover of mankind. This hymn speaks about life, real life, our life here, as but a shadow and a dream. A shadow and a dream. In other hymns, it's called the pageant of life, or the play of life, as if we're performing as actors on some stage. It speaks to us about vanity, the futility of this life, that we anxiously concern ourselves with. This is a difficult lesson for us, but it is a lesson that every Christian must learn on the road to maturity. You think about children when they're young. They play games, board games. One of the favorite games of children is the game of Monopoly or the game of Life. Remember those games? Remember those little pegs you had to put into the cars in Game of Life? Very difficult. Life is hard. And in the game of life, you start out as a youngster, you get educated, then maybe married, children, get a job, start saving, buy a house, all those kind of things in the game of life, right? Or in the game of Monopoly, you go around the board, you collect properties, kind of try to acquire the world as we heard in this hymn. And children sometimes take these games pretty seriously. They'll fight, they'll cheat, they'll argue, and the game consumes them so much so that they really think that that game is life. And sometimes that can happen to us too. This life can consume us. We can think that this is all that matters. And yet that game and this life, they come to an end. Now, some might say, well, Father John, if this is your perspective on life, this is why you're such a failure. And, you know, perhaps maybe it would be good to speak the truth in love to me, to tone it back a little bit, but perhaps also there is some truth to that. If we think that this life is meaningless, we are going to fail. There is a purpose to this life. The purpose of board games for children is to teach them about the world and how it functions and how they can be part of it and how they can do well in this life. Well, that's actually the same purpose for quote-unquote real life. It's to teach us how God functions, how his creation works, and how we can come to play our part in that and to be successful. And to have eternal life. Because those board games, this quote-unquote real life, these are coming to an end, but that eternal life continues. And the character that we form now will be with us for all of eternity. This life is preparation for eternal life, for Pascha. Today we heard gospel reading about the dread and final judgment, how the Lord divides all of mankind between the sheep and the goats. And he divides them according to a certain criteria. And the criteria is whether or not we fed the hungry, gave drink to the thirsty, took in the stranger, clothed the naked, visited the sick and those in prison, and really cared for the least of the brethren. Whether or not we loved. Not just in word, but in deed. Just this past week, in our daily readings, we had a reading from the Epistle of St. John, his first. And he says to us, by this we know love, because he, Christ, laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. St. John speaks to us as his little children. God speaks to us as his children, wanting us to come to maturity, the people of love. Now, this is not an easy lesson. Again, some might say, well, what, Father John, you want us to become beggars? You know, if we give out all of our goods, we'll have nothing left, right? We'll be the least of the brethren. We'll be those who are last. Doesn't Christ say something, though, about the least of the brethren? What does he say? That he associates himself with the least of the brethren. Doesn't he say something about the last being the first? I think so. I think this is the lesson that he's trying to teach us in this pageant or board game of life, that in dying we live. It's the lesson of Pascha. But this brings about a certain fear. Let's be honest with ourselves. There's a fear to keep the Lord's commandments, to go this way. Fear is something that we have to face in this life. And if we don't face it now, we will face it at the dread judgment. We think about the dread judgment, it brings about two main emotions for us. The first is fear, right? That we're not going to pass the test. That we're not going to be the people we're meant to be for all of eternity. That we will enter into torment. But there's also joy and hope that just maybe, by our cooperation with the Lord, we might be changed and transformed, transfigured. We might become holy and enter into heaven for all of eternity. These two emotions exist and should exist for us if we're people who are being transitioned. And we're transitioned from this age to the next, and also from fear to joy. Right? We fear the dread judgment when we haven't yet cooperated with God and done the work of transformation in Christ. But when we have done that work, we begin to have a sense of hope and joy for the coming of Christ. And the entrance into that next age. Fear can be a great benefit to us because it gets us started on this journey. Avakimen is a great quote. He says something wonderful. He says, stay close to a person who fears God. Then you'll have the fear of God as well. This is what the church imparts to us, the fear of God. Elder friend, he speaks about Avakimen's quote, and he says, who are they who really fear God? Those who are passionless, virtuous, saintly people, who never cease to repent. What's repent? Change. Transform themselves. They never cease to do this. How much do we owe such people when we encounter them? How much do we owe to the fact that when we're with them, in some mysterious way, they stimulate our hearts to pray, to repent? The church stimulates us to repentance. I mentioned the funeral yesterday that I was at. The gentleman's name is George Patrick Bryan. He was a single man, lived well into his 80s, never had a wife, never had family. But he was an Orthodox Christian. He heard the same teachings, the same lessons. He was here for a Judgment Sunday, many of them. He heard the same parable about the dread judgment, the sheep and the goats. And to some measure, that sunk in. It clicked with him. And he decided he was going to try to some degree to follow those commandments. Perhaps out of fear, because he knew the alternative. Perhaps maybe out of hope and joy for the kingdom. And it so happened that at one point in his life, his priest at his church was moved from that church to another one, and for a time didn't have a place to stay. This gentleman, who was known just by his name Patrick, offered that priest and his family to come and to stay with them in his house. He had a duplex. He lived on one side and he rented the other. But he offered them to come rent-free, just to move into that house. He took in the stranger. It was actually in that house that that priest and his family started a new mission. They started a church in that house. And later the church moved into another building and another building, and then finally they had their own church where they're at now. And the priest was actually the father of Matashia Emily, Father David Strach. And we think about this gentleman, Patrick, who lost the rental income that he could have had, He suffered a little bit because of that. But think about how immediate was probably that joy that he had. Seeing his priest and his matushka and their young children. I don't know, was Nicholas born at the time? Nicholas was a young boy, four girls, having no place to stay, now staying in his house. A man who had no family received one. And he received the Lord into his house, not just through that church, but through people who were the least of the brethren. And he experienced some joy that he would never have had otherwise without keeping the commandments to sacrifice for others. Now, as Father David mentioned in the homily yesterday at the funeral, he said Patrick wasn't perfect. No one's perfect. He was the senior warden of the church, and he laid down the law, so to speak. There was utter silence in that church, and there were a lot of children. So he kind of, well, he wasn't a pussycat. He was a tough guy. And maybe he ruffled some feathers, perhaps, probably. I think he probably did. Maybe some of the kids didn't like him so much, perhaps. But he felt he was doing his job. He felt that that's what, you know, he was had a calling to do. And he did it faithfully. But Patrick knew that Christ is found in the least of the brethren, and that Christians are to liken themselves to children if they're to be gained access to the kingdom of heaven. And Patrick loved children. On the day of his funeral, he had coins that he was collecting, silver dollars, distributed to all of the kids, as maybe, if you will, his final act of repentance on this age. You can only imagine the joy that his soul experienced seeing that take place. Life is short. And perhaps when we attend a funeral, we realize it. Perhaps when we hear the gospel about the last judgment, we realize it. Perhaps we have moments of clarity in our life and realization of how important our eternal soul is and the character that we form in this passing age. And for all of this, we give thanks to God because it reminds us of what is truly most essential, what is most important. We thank God for this time of preparation in which we're getting ready for that eternal Pascha. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.